Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We are talking Arsenal's rock-solid back line and Marcus Rashford's big plans. It's a brand new episode of the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Yes, I'm not sure I've seen you, Jim, since you became a Community Shield colossus. So I just wanted to take this chance to say... well done.
Thank you. I like that you bring up when Arsenal win things. It's like I'm talking directly to your inferiority complex rather than you. It's really nice. So thanks. Oh,
anytime, mate. I suppose I'm just trying to get some credit in the bank for when Tottenham win the Premier League, but you know. Yeah.
Or when you humble us in some really embarrassing way. Like you already have once in, you know, during your tenure on the show. So yeah.
Tottenham already.
It's going to run and run this, isn't it? And
so.
It's going to be really deeply unsatisfying for both of us. So great.
Tottenham have already won television. So I think that's the main point.
How so? Sorry?
With the documentary, right?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about the Doherty video. Doherty. As someone, yeah. I don't know. Is that not me putting on an accent? I can't do that. Anyway, did you see, you must have seen the video with deleting deleting
really
the Arsenal tweets. Mm. I think they owned that. Oh, yeah, you talked about it. Sorry, mate. I heard you. You've used all your material. Let's move on. Arsenal have made a signing.
Yes.
Gabriel Magalhães.
Yeah, Gabriel, isn't it? Or Gabriel, rather, as in dreams can come true.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, I was a bit worried about this one because it's one of those ones where, like, it's spoken about for ages and then you wonder, is this going to sort of drop off the radar? Have they forgotten about each other? But I think it might have been partially to do with him having to quarantine. But, yeah, there's been a lot of buzz around him, but I've been hurt by a Brazilian Gabriel before, thinking that he would be the answer to all of our defensive problems, which are just kind of inherent, aren't they? Or so it would seem. But I mean, do you know a great deal about him, Andy? Obviously, you're a scholar of French football. Is he someone that you think will bring a lot of bring what Arsenal need to their defence?
Sounds bloody amazing.
Yeah, I think there are two things. I think one major positive and one major negative. The fact that some other, can we say, better placed clubs than Arsenal in the current football hierarchy really wanted him.
Yeah.
Which I think is a thing. We thought he was going to go to Napoli for a very long time. And then you look at the fact that, well, I don't know if this is my prejudice against left-footed centre-backs. I have no general prejudice against left-footed centre-backs. I do have a prejudice against two left-footed centre-backs in either a back two or a back three. So I wonder why you get him and Pablo Mari. That's my only question. Is there maybe a longer injury to Pablo Mari? You know, how long is he going to be out
for? Pablo Mari is himself quite a long man. Very tall. So maybe that's part of it.
I think you're only meant to say long about babies. They're long before they can.
True, yeah.
They're long before they can stand up. And once they can stand up, they're tall.
It depends if they're horizontal or vertical. True. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Exactly. Yeah,
hopefully, if Pablo Mari's laying down, he's long.
Yeah, but this dude. But this dude's known as the Brazilian Colossus or Le Colosse Brésilien. More. As you'd probably pronounce it.
Yeah, in Lille.
Yeah. Correct.
Also, yeah. you could be known as the sort of, you know, the ice cream colossus if you're an ice cream man in Brazil, because everyone's got a cool nickname, haven't they? It doesn't really mean anything.
I take your point. He says, dribbling's not for me. That's what he says.
Yeah, well, he is a very good passer of the ball, so it doesn't need to be.
We don't necessarily need marauding runs from the defence with the, let's say, the nervousness inherent in our own crowd.
Well, I could understand exactly why Arteta wants him, because not only is he an excellent centre-back, and I tend to think, you know, when people go, oh, et cetera, he's Premier League proven. If someone's been a good defender in Ligue 1, it stands to reason that they're going to transfer pretty well to the Premier League, because I think you need a lot of the similar physical attributes. Mm. And that's always the thing. Like when a defender arrives in the Premier League, they have a couple of crappy games earlier on because it is very faster, yeah. It is a bit more anarchic, and then they get written off. You know, you think of Patrice Evra getting written off. I know he's a fullback, but he's still a defender.
Yeah, his debut was particularly difficult, wasn't it, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, his agent said after his first 45 minutes at Manchester United, we've made a terrible mistake here, according to that interview he did with Donald McRae in The Guardian last week.
But I think as well, this whole Farmers League thing is thrown at Ligue 1 all the time, isn't it? And I don't know a lot of farmhands, but the ones I have seen tend to be hulking brutes. So you would think, actually, from both tilling the farms and playing professional football, it would make you quite a physical. So that actually gives me a lot of faith in the idea of Gabriel. I'm also very pleased that, as you've alluded to, Andy, he did apparently have a lot of suitors that are of a higher status, realistically, than Arsenal. Man United were apparently in for him, and obviously with Champions League football, that would appear to be more appealing. But apparently he was offered more money elsewhere as well, but it was Edu and Mikel Arteta that convinced him of the vision, which is music to my ears, a really, really good thing. And also, those of you not watching Arsenal so closely might not be aware of this, but it's really encouraging that Arsenal have signed a player that isn't from the Kia Jurabchian set menu, because a lot of the signings Arsenal have made are all from him. And some of the weirder ones as well, like the Cedric Suarez one, with him getting a 4-year contract, that's from Jurabchian, and he's been around at the club a lot, and it was looking like, are we only going to sign his clients, because that's really going to hamstring us? But that's not the case here.
You say Cedric's weird. It might not be so weird if Hector Bellerin goes.
Well, quite, yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about sexy Hector?
Yeah, it's like they're selling one of our mates. That's what it feels like with Bellerin, because, you know, he's everyone loves him. Even, you know, he's had a lot of injuries. He's made something like, I think it's 205 appearances since 2011, and a lot of the time he was in the youth setup there. Mm. But it's not much, is it? It's not a huge amount. It shows you how many injuries he's had, given
the last
how long
couple
he's
been
established
difficult.
As a first team player,
haven't they?
Yeah, they really have.
I mean, you know what you said about you know, losing him. To me, this seems like if Paris Saint Germain are offering 25 million quid plus some bonuses, to me that seems very reasonable. And to be perfectly honest, I'm a little bit surprised that a team that thinks they can go out and win the Champions League actually wants Hector Bellerin. It's almost the personality is bigger than the player now. Mm. And don't get me wrong, I love his way of connecting with people and contributing to society and expressing himself and being himself. But are we really saying he's the player we thought he was going to be 3 years ago? Because I'm going to say no.
He's been in good form since he's been back from his injury, but that seems to be the issue, doesn't it, generally? That are you ever going to be really...
But will it last?
Exactly. That confident that he's going to stay fit for a long enough season that he's going to have a title-winning effect on it. And I don't know. And I think the talk is that he himself is actually thinking, well, maybe, yeah, I'm 25 now, Arsenal are rebuilding. Do I want to be here for a rebuild when I'm probably coming into my peak years? Maybe not. And, you know, everyone would wish him well if he went, but... My concern with it is it's not just a sort of fans thing. It's that you're selling a leader. You know, he's a leader on the pitch, and that is something that Arsenal have lacked a lot. So I'm a bit bit nervous about this one.
Well, is that not perhaps the benefit that PSG are, for example, looking for, is that he has this seemingly this stabilising effect? And, you know, when there was all the business with the captaincy, it seems, well, it was surprising that he didn't, you know, he was one of the several captains, wasn't he, Jim?
Emery's five captains.
Five, bloody hell. But yeah, he seemed to be one of the people saying the most sensible things in that whole period and being, as you mentioned, stable. So that's got its own value, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, I think people think of him as someone who's a real son of the club as well. Yes. And it is always hard to let someone like that go. I mean, he speaks more like a Londoner than me.
He does.
It's incredible. So,
rant. I've never seen Dad say that.
Well, actually, in South East London, I think you'll find that's very common. But I think you've got to separate the player and the personality here. For me, he hasn't become the player that he should have become. Is that entirely his fault? No. But if Arsenal are aspiring to get to the next point, and really, if they're going to get a decent fee for him, which, as you were saying to me earlier, Jim, when we were talking about it, is some money they need to reinvest elsewhere in the team, it's not the barest part of the squad, is it?
No, I mean, especially with Ainsley Maitland-Niles clearly staying now. I think that's what that's the plan there. Although Maitland-Niles has said that he sees himself as a winger. So I wonder whether he would accept effectively playing as a wing back instead. He might have to, but then players have to do that sometimes, don't they? Have to accept that, you know, you this is where you're going to play. It's at least similar and comparable. So that looks to be the plan, which is, it's refreshing that you can see a plan. to be fair, at least, so that's quite nice. But yeah, I think it that's the case. There's talk that Arsenal, obviously, Dani Ceballos looks like he might be coming back on loan. So that's not going to be cheap, I would imagine, given that he's coming from Real Madrid, so wages are going to be a factor there. Also, Andy, you and I were talking about earlier, one of the things we have to remember with any business done this summer is the amortization of Nicolas Pepe's contract, because that was, I mean, Ralston Leahy, it effectively looks like he lost his job over how much that's going to cost Arsenal. So they way massively overpaid for him, and obviously there's Ozil's contract to think about. So even without any players coming in, money has to be thought about, so there's going to have to be sales from somewhere. So I think this one has probably got some legs that may pick up injuries, but legs all the same. So yeah, there's talk of Thomas Partey and Hassan Aouar as well, and I think that
both of those would.
They are great, aren't they?
But Partey too. Yeah,
I'd be surprised if Arsenal could get both, but if they want one of them, they're going to have to fund it somehow.
Can I say, as a Leon sympathiser, I would be heartbroken if Aouar didn't end up at an elite club.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I really would.
And the point he's making there, Jim, just in case you missed it.
Yeah. He's not coming to North London.
All right, let's skip over and talk about... Well, I find it quite hard, actually, to speak about any members of the Croatian national team because of what they did to England in 2018, but...
You're taking his speller role way too seriously.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. But Ivan Rakitic has left Barcelona to go back to Sevilla. In fact, the farewell ceremony that's been announced by Barcelona, and as they put it in the press release, subsequent telematic press conference of the player should be happening right now. So let's hope he's not used that to announce, you know, he's got all the inside track on what's going on with Messi or anything like that, because we'll have to get back in here and re-record. Yeah. But
I'm really interested to see how this pans out, because when a huge player leaves Barcelona, so a Xavi or an Iniesta, they have the first two rows in the press conference room. It's the squad, isn't it?
Right.
In all their club suits or their trackies. They should all turn up for Rakitic, because I think this is where you get a big split between in-stadium fans and on-Twitter fans, because he is someone who has attracted so much ire from Barcelona fans on Twitter over the years, and on social media over the years. Rakitic, he has largely been brilliant for them. He was a key player in the 2014-15 team, which was the last team that won the Champions League for them, the last team that looked like winning the Champions League for them, and not just because of that opening goal. But there's always been this sort of weirdness between a certain demographic of Barcelona fans and Rakitic, because he's very much from outside the magic circle. And, you know, I think a lot of them have seen him as a threat to the Barcelona philosophy of how a lot of Barcelona fans feel they should play football. In that way, he's like a typical Luis Enrique signing, because Luis Enrique could not give a shit about that. He's someone who wanted to change them and make them a little bit more practical, a little bit more direct, and he really did that. And Rakitic is a player who is not just someone who's been really good for Barcelona and really good for Croatia. I think you look at his mixed upbringing, the fact that he comes from a Croatian family, but he grew up in Switzerland, then went to Germany pretty young. And he had this sort of finishing school at Sevilla, where by that point he could play everywhere in midfield. So he did number 10 for Sevilla. He played this sort of quarterback role for Schalke. He played on both wings as well. He could do the lot. And that's what Enrique saw and thought, yeah, this is a guy who can help me map the game. And that's exactly what he did. He just did it in a way that was a bit more Swiss German than a lot of Barcelona fans would have liked. And I think post Pep Guardiola, you do have a lot of these. You know, you talk about West Ham and the
West Ham way.
The West Ham way. Stuff. Yeah. Barcelona is that times 10 or a certain amount of Barcelona fans or a certain mindset of Barcelona fans are like that. But you've got to accept other points of view. Otherwise, you can't progress.
Really interesting, just in the context of what, you know, of course, Messi and Barcelona and all of the chaos that's going on there at the moment, is that it looks as though, according to Goal, Rakitic is going to be earning £2.7 million a season. Okay, decent wedge. But it is a significant drop from the $7 million he was being paid by Barcelona per season. Now, you know, the question around Barcelona is, are people running away from this club at this point? And what does it mean in that context of Messi, really?
Well, maybe, but I think, you know, even Rakitic is... his wife's from Seville, isn't she?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever mentioned that before.
Yeah. Get in the commentary.
I mean, maybe that's why the pay cut's okay, because he can just like live at a folks' place.
And he jumped in he was so happy about the Europa League win, he jumped in a swimming pool on telly. So he's obviously pretty strong on it.
He's returning to a club you know, where he's very, very well loved. He's, you know, sort of coming to the twilight of his career. He's taking a pay cut, which is, you know, actually it seems very honourable, even though he's still earning a lot of money. He's all right. He's going for a very small fee, but he's getting his wage off the Barcelona wage bill. I think Rakitic might be the only person to emerge from this with any credit. Like, he might be the only person who can walk out with his head held high, and I think that might be very, very deliberate. While they're like seeing sort of the chaos just spinning around everywhere else, like Luis Suarez probably chewing down the stadium, kind of. Mad stuff's happening everywhere, like, and I think Rakitic is done well to get out of there. It's, I mean, it's, they've got so much money to shave off that bill.
Oh my goodness!
I think that's the thing, though. Like, outside Barcelona or outside, I don't know if even outside Barcelona, the club, there's maybe not a complete understanding, or there wasn't until they were half trying to bring Neymar back last summer. How much people across Europe rate Rakitic? Because when they were talking about the parameters of a possible Neymar deal, they said, well, we value Rakitic at 45 million. And Leonardo didn't bat an eyelid. He was like, yeah, all right, we're in. You know, I mean, basically that deal didn't happen because Ousmane Dembélé wouldn't go to Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite interesting that one of the other, you know, elite or elitish clubs says, you know, well, he's 31 at the time, and they were like, yeah, all right, if that's 45 million of the fee, then we can live with that. You know, he is a player who's enormously respected.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Handsome man as well. Handsome, cultured-looking man.
That will always sway Jim, won't it? Yeah. We should have done a whole segment on that with Bayern. Someone who's not with us today but has been watching this one closely is Jules Breach, because Glenn Murray has signed on a season-long loan for Watford. It's the first signing of Vladimir Ivic's reign. Looks as though this might possibly pave the way for Troy Deeney to leave, although he did say that he wasn't going to kind of, you know, tout himself about, or whatever the phrase would be that he used. I can't imagine him saying that. But
is he only on Sky Sports every half hour now, rather than every 10 minutes?
I'm not. I'm here to not tout myself about, guys. Yeah. Can I just make that clear at the top of this interview? So, you know, Jules Breach aside, what do we make of that one?
I think it's a canny signing for Watford on the surface, but I think Murray only got 2 goals last season, didn't he? I know that he didn't play as much as he would normally expect to, but is he too aging?
23 appearances, though, in the Premier League.
I mean, a lot of those would have been from the bench, I would imagine. Sure. But, like, the Championship is it's a long, old season. It's a tough, tough league as well. Could it be the case that this is a bit too far? I mean, Deeney for Murray wouldn't fill me with confidence, or Murray for Deeney, rather, as a Watford fan. But at the same time, I know Troy Deeney will probably be Watford's highest earner, or there or thereabouts, so they might have to move him on. I think it's a funny one. I think it's a bit of a weird one for Watford. I think you would probably want something a bit more ambitious than that. And I know that Jules will probably be screaming at me for speaking ill of their beloved Glenn Murray. But I wouldn't be filled with joy as a Watford fan at that.
I think I'd feel quite good about it. I think at that level, it looks like goals. You know, I think you're right, definitely, about load management and all that sort of stuff. But I feel quite confident that Glenn Murray could get you a good few goals as well. I think as well, you have to look at the players that they look like they're going to be holding on to. Luis Suarez, not that Luis Suarez. Luis Garcia and Luis Suarez is mixed up. he's looks like he's going to be at the club in the coming season. Purvis Estupiñán, who was really, really good on loan at Osasuna, he's coming back to the club as well. So it looks like they've got some talent there. Mm. But a little bit of know-how as well. I think that's pretty good. Also, maybe I underrate Troy Deeney a little bit, not just because all his goals were penalties and all his goals are exactly the same penalty.
There's a lot to be said for that.
But there is a lot to be said for that. But a couple of times at NBA London, he was sat in the seat in front of me, and that makes me think, that's not quite elite, is it, mate?
The seat's not good enough, is the point you're making?
No, honestly, they've got a proper celebrity row, like, depending on whether it was Adidas or Nike sponsoring the kit.
You do yourself down here, Brass. Come on, mate. They said, "Top Brass is in the house. You get to sit near him." Troy.
I was near Troy and Lethal Bizzle. I wasn't next to Draxler or Giroud.
Did you? Giroud,
I know he's played for some big clubs and he's a World Cup winner and all the rest of it. But when they interviewed him on the touchline, he said, "Yes, I am hoping to see lots of goals from the Washington Wizards in the second half." It's like,
basket
mate,
goals.
Come on.
Did you at any point lean over to Troy Deeney and Lethal Bizzle and go, "Oh, God, we're in the B list here, aren't we?" Did you say that to his face at any point, Andy?
I really hope so. Also, coming up from the Championship, I'm pretty excited about this one. Eberé Eze, a sign for Crystal Palace, reported £17 million. I'm really excited about this one. He's obviously come from QPR. He's supposed to be an outrageous talent. I saw him play a little tiny bit, but I'm sure you guys potentially have more to say about him and have probably seen the compilation of some of his pretty great goals that have been floating around on Twitter. And if you haven't, guys, definitely check that out. QPR's director of football, Les Ferdinand, when I spoke to him about the player, said that he should be considered, if he can get into a Premier League club, he should be considered for the England setup. Wow. So he's obviously highly valued there.
Yeah, I mean, he looks to be a very, very skillful and direct player, and I think that will really suit the way Palace play and what they want to do with their, you know, they love a bit of direct pace, don't they, down at Palace, and I think he fits the exact profile of the sort of player that they need and can realistically get. So I'm quite excited about this for him and them. One of the things that I've seen of him that I find really impressive is he's quite a good ball winner. Rarely, which is, you know, to the degree, like for a forward player like that, it's something you don't necessarily expect to be in a locker. You expect them to have someone else doing that behind them. But he seems very adept at that. So I'm excited. I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can bring to Palace.
I've not seen any of him, so I'm very looking forward to discovering him. What I'm hoping is, A, there'll be a sort of revival of, remember when Palace last came up and it was prime Bolasie and Zaha together. Yeah. I mean, that was fun.
That was great.
So something like that again would be lovely. Also, I wonder if for Wilfried Zaha, because he's in this weird sort of twilight zone in that he's not going to leave Palace, even though he's ambitious to get to the next level, because
he's not going to.
No, because who's going to pay the money that they want from him? The massive problem is for Zaha is he's worth more to Palace than he is to anyone else, which is a bit of a difficulty, isn't it? And you know the sort of clubs that he wants to go to are not going to pay the sort of money that Palace want. I do wonder though if Eze coming in does mean that Zaha's basically just going to get fouled less. which would be a huge step forward for them. Yeah. It would be drawing some of that fire would be a massive difference maker for them, no?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Admittedly, they've still got no centre forward worthy of the name, and Patrick Van Aanholt's still the best finisher at the club. But that's something you can work on, right?
Yeah. Oh, Patrick Van Aanholt's the best finisher in the Premier League, though, isn't he? So, I mean, that's quite
fair. Inexplicable.
Last one I want to do before we go to the break is the world's most expensive footballer has been signed by Chelsea. What am I talking about? Just Pernille Harder has come from Wolfsburg. Now, I was feeling a bit down about this because the value of the deal is £250,000.
Pounds,
great British pounds, mm-hmm. Which is obviously a very small amount of money in the context of all these other transfers that we've been talking about in the men's game. However, if you consider that in the context, one of my colleagues, Anton Tolliri, did a few bits of maths, well done, mate, and said that it was £486,000 in 2019 was the total value of transfers in the women's game.
Wow.
That's a massive step up, and she is a brilliant player.
It's the context of that is that's a Neymar-style transfer, isn't it? Realistically, of how big that is. And it's a bit sad. Are Chelsea doing it again? just disrupting the market.
The question
they
is,
can compete.
Are Chelsea doing it again, or are Manchester City doing it again? Having got Rose Lavelle, being likely to get Lucy Bronze back. It's interesting because the post-Women's Champions League final talk in France has been Lyon saying, despite the fact they've won the Champions League 5 years in a row, and seven of the last 10, they've been saying, well, we've got to up our game. We've got to up our game because the Brits are coming and they're putting proper money into it. Now, I think like you were saying yesterday, Kate, Jean-Michel Aulas will have something up his sleeve. There is absolutely no doubt about that. And like you were saying as well, the absences that they had in that final, no Paris, no Egerberg, like what other club copes with that? The step up is significant for them to close that gap. But at least there's a willingness from Manchester City and Chelsea. And Chelsea, of course, if you go back to the semi-final of the year before last, in the second leg of that, I went to that at King's Meadow and did an at the match on it. And they ran Lyon really close. They ran Lyon really, really close. And the fact that Chelsea went from that to not being in the Champions League last season, they're absolutely chomping at the bit to get back in it. And, you know, they're putting their money where their mouths are.
Yeah, because, of course, they've also signed fairly recently. Although
Sam Kerr,
although obviously the season distended, so it feels like a while ago now. And they've got a great manager, Emma Hayes, who's been doing this for a long time, but still obviously is ambitious to improve. And they've obviously just won, you know, the biggest trophy in the world, the Community Shield, Jim. So that's lovely to see. And beating Manchester City, who you mentioned. So yes, plenty of big transfers to tell you about in the women's game. And also, I hope we've whetted your appetite there. We'll be back with more after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it? Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done and, you know, all of that stuff. I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes. Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
Yes, welcome back. It is time now for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
This is one of my favourite topics so far, because it is taking us in all sorts of different and increasingly bizarre directions, which I think is the purpose of a really great topics section. The question is, of course, with Tom Hardy narrating the Spurs All or Nothing documentary, which famous person would you like to hear voice a documentary about your club?
We've had an email from Andrew James, Andy Jim to his mates. As a Villa fan, the obvious choice is Tom Hanks, but I'd rather go for Birmingham fan Troy Deeney. The glory years of the early 20th century would be conversed via gritted teeth, while the last relegation would be joyous for him beyond compare. It would be a hell of a listen, actually. And Troy Deeney does hate Villa so much that I think he's willing to join West Brom, isn't he? Just so he can have a crack at him with a rival in the Premier League. But he'd be brilliant. No nonsense the whole way through.
So good at hiding his feelings as well. Yeah. We've got a good one here from George Heeks via email. Hello, Ramble. If I was to get anyone to voice over a documentary for my club, Sheffield United, it would have to be fellow Blade supporter Sean Bean. It would, however, have to be with the premise that he would call everyone a bastard in honour of his legendary character, Sharp. I like it. I'm just trying to imagine his enraged narration after referee Paul Tierney, after the Hawkeye cock-up against Villa earlier this season. Despite the ball crossing the line, the referee does not give the goal. Bastard! All like the best, George.
Yeah, I mean, he's famous for having called Neil Warnock something quite a bit worse than a bastard in front of his kids, wasn't he, after the Sheffield United relegation. So he's got a bit of form there.
Wow.
I think it'd be quite dramatic.
I don't support swearing in front of kids. Wow.
They're going to learn it sooner or later, aren't they?
Parental advisory, people. Blimey. I'd like it if he was dressed up in his outfit, in his Sharp outfit. I know clearly it's a voiceover, so it doesn't really matter, but it'd be quite enjoyable to imagine him sitting in the booth. Yeah. It's like a musket, would it be?
Or what, like the VAR officials, how they turn up in their full kit? That is very much the rage nowadays. Yeah. People always criticise John Terry, but actually, people have responded to him, haven't they?
You think that's a tribute?
Taking it as a call to arms. They're like, he looks great, let's do the same.
Yeah. At some point as well, if Sean Bean is doing this voiceover, as is, you know, typical with a Sean Bean role, he has to die at some point.
Right.
Because he just dies in everything he's in. He always dies. So maybe the last 10 minutes of the documentary, like, you just hear him go...
And then like, I would die for this club.
And then the season finished. I just do wonder, though, is Sean Bean a bit of an obvious choice? The thing is, I feel he's a bit tainted by association. Do you remember When Saturday Comes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like any any film with football in, it's really hard to get right. They mostly look
You know
awful.
About them a lot.
Pete's Film Club.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you sounded like you've made one, Jim, and it didn't go to plan. Were you behind the Arsenal Stadium mystery? You look younger.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with it. It's a good one, though, that one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anyway.
Are there any good... Sorry, this is a big tangent, but could either of you name any good football... apart from... Bend it like Beckham.
And apart from Green Street.
Okay.
No.
Sure.
I'm joking, people. I'm joking.
I feel like someone's not taking this seriously. Fine, let's go to the next topic. Yes, David has sent an email in. Thanks, David. Hi, Kate and team. Ooh, fun. Hi. First, on Monday's show... I've had to warm up for this, guys, by the way. On Monday's show, while discussing rap commentary for games, Vish referred to Twista as the fastest... words to minute rapper in the world, and it was then that I saw my chance for pedantry. Good. In 1992, Twista was recognised as Guinness fastest rapper alive for dropping 11.2 syllables per second. He rapped 598 syllables in 55 seconds to earn the honour. Notably, that is less than a minute. Yep. Additionally, while this is commendable, Eminem holds the Guinness title for most words in a hit single after including 1,560 words in his 2013 hit Rap God. That is a 6.04 minute, I'm not sure that's how you say it, but anyway, technical masterclass. While Twista might be well suited for the quick bursts of counter-attacking football, Eminem's stamina would surely be better suited to a sustained performance that you need throughout the full game. This is an excellent point.
Yes.
Second, for this week's topics, the clear option for Arsenal fans is John Burko. Nothing more satisfying than hearing him yell, "Order!" and deriding the club in his uniquely condescending and posh way every time he is forced to narrate one of the club's recent missteps. There could even be an entire bonus scene that's simply a mashup compilation of Burko's best moments in Parliament and Sir Crotus's continual stupidity.
All right.
That is David in South
out of this.
Carolina.
Yeah. Firstly, I would say, David, you make a good point about obviously Eminem setting that record for Rap God, and the technical masterclass element of it. So obviously Eminem is brilliant, but we were specifically talking about freestyle rap, because if you are commentating on a live game, you can't plan it, can you? You've got to be ready to react to it. And I believe that that is what Vish was referring to when he was touting Twister's skills. And secondly, as well, one thing that's been lost a little bit is that poor old Napoli look like they've missed out on Gabriel and will now be replacing Kalidou Koulibaly with Sokratis, which...
Yes!
I've met Napoli fans. They are a passionate bunch. I can't imagine they're going to be too happy with that. Oh, no.
Can you give him his proper title? Former Milan legend, Sokratis.
Yes, of
Thank
course.
Thank you.
Well, I don't need to, because you've done it for me. I love the John Burko idea, though. That'd
yeah, that's good. The problem with John Burko is now I've seen so much of him on BBC Parliament, you're just thinking about what tie he's wearing like while you're listening.
I think that
kind of undercuts it a little bit.
The thing about John Burko, he constantly is undercutting himself, but he looks... like an old Kevin Keegan. They look almost identical.
Oh, yeah, there's something to
weirdly,
that.
That
is interesting, yeah.
And you wouldn't have seen that coming for Keegan, I don't think.
No, you don't want Keegan trying to, you know, declare order. It's just not going to work, is it? Just not going to work.
I think you'd find that pretty... I think you would take issue with that, Jim. Mm. So we better skip on, if you're listening.
We concentrate on the topics... We're pretty good to many topics today.
Lovely load of topics there. And thanks for emailing in particular, guys. If you want to email in, you can get hold of us at show@footballrambledaily.com, or, of course, you can tweet us using the hashtag RambleTopics, as you have been doing so beautifully. Now, we wanted to talk about Marcus Rashford today because, as we all know, he made this brilliant step earlier on in the pandemic about getting the government to extend their food voucher scheme. And he has subsequently decided to team up with some of the UK's biggest brands, a whole load of supermarkets, basically, all the main supermarket.
And some charities as well.
And some charities as well. And he said that his aim is to work to expand free school meals, among other things. Basically, his target is to end child food poverty. And I guess this is in the context that we've spoken about a fair bit on the Ramble recently, of how footballers are starting to see the real sincere influence that they can have as massive icons, not just of the game, but of society at large.
Yeah, it's a good thing, isn't it? I guess we're in the generation of the super rich footballers now. That's kind of embedded in for a long time. And they are like, you know, most top level footballers won't ever have to probably do anything ever again if they don't want to after football. But a lot of them are in a position where they're trying to sort of do something positive with the world. And obviously, as a current player, it's all the more impressive from Rashford. And one of the really interesting things I read in the various kind of pieces about this was that one of the people who was on this Zoom call that Rashford had with the supermarket bosses and charity bosses was somebody said, he's formidable. This is obviously the right thing to do, but I think for some people, it doesn't hurt that you don't want to get on the wrong side of Marcus Rashford.
Ha!
And that's a really interesting thing that he's been very, very active behind the scenes. Apparently he's making a lot of phone calls. He's not just a figurehead. He is an actual driving force behind this. And a point was made as well that what his status brings is that because he makes these things so high profile, if they don't work out or if the government say they're going to do something, they don't do it, they're a lot more accountable because they're accountable to this really, really famous figure. And that is such a intelligent and positive use of his status. And I think that's great. And I hope that, you know, he'll become a figurehead for footballers themselves to go, you know what, I can make a difference with this specific thing. You know, like, and you know, it's fantastic that he's focused in on a particular issue, which is quite niche in the grand scheme of how many problems society has. And I'd love it if more players started doing that. If Flamini's trying to, you know, fix the oil problem, Rashford's working on, you know, food poverty, and it's great.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of the, I guess, unexpected effects of lockdown, really, isn't it? The fact that maybe some footballers, clearly him, for example, has thought, right, okay, about their place in the world and about their place in society and about what they want to do in society beyond just football. And it can be really hard, can't it? Because like everyone's job, you're locked into it. It takes up the majority of your time. Of course, there's a lot of pressure contingent on this particular line of work as well. And so because you're almost encouraged to focus all the time and not think about other stuff, I think it's understandable that some players are a little bit disconnected from society or a little bit disconnecting with directly engaging as well. I mean, we have to say that a lot of footballers do a lot of stuff through their clubs and they put in a lot of time in the community. Yeah. But to see a footballer do something individually that's not part of a sponsorship deal, that's not part of what his club is doing, is something individual, it's not as unusual outside the UK. But I think it's interesting because we've seen generally that, you know, most individual footballers in the UK have not wanted to be overtly politically or socially engaged. Now, I think here what we've seen is there's a separation between the political and the social. And certainly Marcus Rashford feels like that. It doesn't feel like a political point. It feels like a social connection that he's making, which is very, very important. But, you know, we've seen this in Germany with, you look at Joshua Kimmich and Leon Goretzka, they raised $5 million for charity while they were off. And, you know, it's something that I think that little break has definitely given a lot of younger footballers and a lot of younger socially engaged footballers. I mean, you look at the age of those two and Rashford, all under 25, them thinking, actually, the way we interact with the world is different to the generation above us.
Yes.
That, you know, we can be direct, we can connect directly. And Raheem Sterling, in a very different field, has been a very good example of that. You know, that he doesn't need anything behind him. He doesn't need sponsorship support. He doesn't need club support to come out and say what he feels. And this is what Marcus Rashford's doing as well. And I think this is a hugely, hugely positive thing. You know, there's been so much discussion, especially over the lockdown period of, you know, how social media works and the sort of role it has in our life, our psyche and our mental health. And this is bringing it back to it being used in a very direct, positive way, which is fantastic.
Mm. What's brilliant about Marcus Rashford, I mean, he also, we should point out, has been doing things like this, or has been building up to this for some time. You know, yes. He was working on homelessness in Manchester United, homelessness in Manchester as well, in the last year, and often would say, you know, I'll do an interview, but can we talk about this, please? Which is, you know, a standard way of footballers doing that. But he's clearly got a lot of really good advisors. He's clearly deployed people who can help him put his message out there in the best possible way. Because I'm sure you'll have read the letter. That was how he did it originally, when he was asking for the food voucher scheme to be extended. And then he's put out another letter on this topic. And he said he has met a number of the people he's asked a number of people about this subject, and some of the stories that he deploys in his letter are just absolutely devastating. And he says, you know, he's met some of these families to better understand how food poverty is contributing to social unrest, watching a young boy keeping it together while his mother sobbed alongside him, feeling like he has to step up to protect his family and alleviate some of that worry. He was 9 years old. I know that feeling. It's exactly as you say, Andy. He's putting the context of his own life in to make this really, really powerful, and then deploying the power that he now has to make people listen. And the schools minister, 10 points if you can tell me who he is. No, me neither. Nick Gibb has said he would be delighted to meet Marcus and talk through these issues. So, yeah, we'll see what happens next. But it's a really... it's a really exciting story in many, many ways, yeah. I think. Before we go, let's talk about La Liga and the fixtures that have been announced. You know, a huge moment in the football calendar. And you're looking, you've got your pull out from Marca, and you're ready to make sure that you know exactly who's playing whom. You get to week 25, you notice that Sevilla are hosting Barcelona that week, and then you look down the column and you see Sexo.
Well,
why is that?
We have to put this in context, in that Marca, often on its cover, has a lot of adverts for tablets for erectile dysfunction.
Is that a regular thing on the front?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Bale set to leave Madrid. Sexo is Mila.
Yeah. So that's sex is life.
Yes.
Or life is sex, is it?
Sex is life.
Yeah. So
sex is life.
Yes.
Sex is life.
Yes, exactly.
Sex is life. What?
So I have sympathy for the people marketing this, though, because a lot of people have been laughing at the placement of this erectile dysfunction.
Right in the middle of the calendar.
If you're selling your penis pet pills, you've got to sell them somewhere, haven't you? So, like, where else?
Everywhere, apparently. Well,
exactly. Yeah. So. I mean, there we are.
I suppose it's the longest lasting advert ever, isn't it?
Because hang on,
as you say, advert. Because the thing is, you're going to get to, as you say,
have you got an endorsement deal with these Sex of His Life guys?
It's going to be like the Pelé thing. You know, I don't need anything like that, but if I did, I would use this product.
Yeah.
But it's amazing because, as you say, you get to like week 31.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, Mallorca versus Eibar. Oh, I feel up for that.
Yeah. So it starts to sort of like psychosomatically feel like you're getting it up for the game, effectively.
Possibly. And as Kate says, in week 31 or 34 or whatever, you'll definitely need one in week 36, won't you?
Yeah.
I didn't know erections were so central to your enjoyment of football, guys.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. It's the only way... yeah. Anyway...
Got any sensible chat about the actual fixtures, Andy, or will we just leave it there?
Not really. I mean, yeah.
That's not why you brought this in, is it? We're going to have a sensible roundup of the Spanish fixtures. And finally,
guys, I just want you to feel as though you can bring anything, any issues you might have. I just want you to feel as though you can bring them to the table, because clearly this is an important issue for many men. And I just wanted to feel that you had the ear of the nation.
That's very kind of you. I think what's important to add as well is the correct way to announce fixtures is the way that Passos de Ferreira have done it with their little video of their
You're obsessed with it.
I am obsessed with it. Os Castores, the beavers, they are. So don't.
It's so weird. The video you're about to describe is so... We'll put it on social. It's so weird. Take us through it, Andy.
So basically, their big cuddly man in a beaver costume does something in line with the regional traditions of each of those clubs. So when they're about to play Gil Vicente, for example, who are from Barcelos, if you've ever gone into Nando's, and you see... And you see the legend about the Cock of Barcelos.
Right.
It's on the wall there in many Nando's. So
is he taking Sexo as Vida, or is he...
Oh, no. He's a very confident gentleman, this beaver. Anyway, he's... when they're playing Gil Vicente, he's barbecuing a chicken, like Nando's style. When they're playing Belenenses, which is obviously where the Pastéis de Nata come from, they come from Belém, he's tapping away on his computer and he pulls out a few of those. When they're playing Portimonense, Portimão is in the Algarve, as you might know,
like
on the beach.
It's like a long-running series.
Kick about on the beach. It's a long video, but the best one is where... that they're playing Braga, and to announce that he's just stood on the pitch in the stadium, and Braga are the Warriors. So he looks up above, and there's like a fighter plane flying over, and he just like lazily reaches across, gets a double-barreled shotgun, and shoots it out of the sky. I mean, that's not mascot behaviour, is it?
No, it's not. I think the weirdest bit in the video, though, is where he's milking a cow. Like an actual cow. Like a man in a giant beaver mascot suit milking a cow.
Yeah, because I thought you actually had to have... I don't know, I thought the skin against the teat was important to make the cow relax. So I don't know how those beaver hands are going to be comfortable on the...
We're going to wear a mascot glove next time we're on the farm.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. Guys, I think we've pretty much covered everything... in the world.
Yeah.
So it's time to go. Lovely to be with you, Andy Brassel.
What a pleasure.
Nice to see you, Jim Campbell.
You too.
Tomorrow it's Marcus, Pete, and you again.
Yeah, it is.
See you then, guys.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've got
been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.